Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. CCC is so wonderful to be up here in Michigan. It is wonderful to be here. I'm from that state down south. In Jesus' name. All right. It's just so funny. I do so much ministry up here in Michigan. I wonder what's wrong with those folks down in Ohio. What's wrong with them? In Jesus' name. I am so delighted to be here. I am already in love with your pastor. He's married, so, you know, it's going to go. Can only go so far. I'm just saying. It could just only go so far. No, I am so delighted to be here. It's my first time in Midland. I got a chance to get in town early, and so I drove around and was able to see some neighborhoods and some communities and started praying, and I stopped in a couple of stores and asked some folks what was going on and what did they like about the city and all that kind of stuff. You know, I told them I was from New York. I'm just kidding. No, I really asked them what they loved about their city and all that good stuff. And all of them had so many wonderful things to say about your wonderful city. I am so delighted to be here, and I'm excited for what God is going to do. What's often not said is that there's times when the preacher actually needs God too. Come on now. Would you tap your neighbor and say, I know that's right? Come on now. Just tap your neighbor and say, I know that's right. There's times, oh man, the people on the lights and the cameras, y'all gonna have some trouble today. All right. I'm just telling you, for me, I'm just praying and I'm asking those that are close to me to be in prayer. So there's even folks that are not even here that are praying for your breakthrough. And if you're here today, if you've made the choice to be here today, I can tell you that God is gonna honor that choice. Because God is always in the business of seeing how far we're willing to go with him. Come on now. I haven't even begun to start. And you know a good message always starts with a good appetizer. Come on now. If the appetizer is good, you're like, you know what? I'm ready to pay whatever you need me to pay for this meal. Come on now. So check out the appetizer. It'll tell you. I'm just saying that there's so many people praying about tonight. And I'm so glad to be here. Pastor Key mentioned our church. I serve at a small church in an urban setting, really, really rough part of town in Youngstown, Ohio. I've been there for 3 years. Prior to doing that, I traveled full time as an evangelist. And I'm gonna just be honest with y'all. I was doing pretty good. I mean, I love what I was doing, but God said, I want you to do something else. Come on now. And if you like me, if you're a knucklehead like me, I'm like, I'm glad you want to do something else, but I don't want to do something. I'm gonna go over here and try it over here. I'm just saying. I know you want to do it, but me, we're not on the same page. Come on now. And is that you? But I'm in a place in my life where I know his way is the best way. Would you say amen? His way is the best way in Jesus' name. And so I'm delighted to be here. My wife gave me the okay to be able to come. Once God gives me the message, my wife kind of co-signs it. Come on now. Anybody got co-signers in here in Jesus' name? She kind of co-signs it, and I wanted to make sure that it was all good, that she was good with it in Jesus' name. I want to show you a quick picture of my family. They are here with me. They are here praying on my behalf. That black guy, that happens to be me. Okay, that black guy, I just wanted you to know that. That's my wife, Kristen. She is a fifth grade special ed teacher, and I'm her number one student. Come on now. Come on now, Jesus. Come on now. That's my wife. And then we have two wonderful children. My son, Christopher, he's 23. He's 23. I had to make sure I get this right. He's 23. And my daughter, Hallie. Christopher is all into sports. Like he's like madly into sports. Like uh, he You name anything about basketball, football, he'll tell you. Like, even guys playing overseas. I'm like, cut it out. That's a little too much. Come on now. Like, just sit down, have breakfast, and it'll be okay, right? In Jesus' name. And then there's the dancing diva, my daughter, Hallie. Hallie is, both of them are in school. Christopher is studying to be a social worker. And I believe he has a call on his life for missions. Come on now. So y'all can pray for my son, Christopher. Anytime you remember me, you can think about him and pray for him. He loves missions, and we love that he loves missions. He's been on many trips with me around the world, and I'm so thankful that God has given me a desire to be able to share some of my ministry experiences with my kids. Hallie, on the other hand, Hallie is getting ready to finish school in May, and she's looking to go into law. I don't know if I told you that. She's looking to go into law, and I want her to. Come on now, because we can put way more missionaries on the field. Come on now, when she turned in her offering. Come on now, her tithes. Y'all didn't get to see, that's like pastor joke, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, go ahead, yeah, we want you to be that doctor. Go ahead, just make sure you're here on Sunday. Come on now. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. My wife would just be punching me. She'd be like, cut it out. She'd give me the cut it out sign, right, in Jesus' name. God is good. I'm here, and I'm just going to tell you, I love to have fun. I love to share the word of God. I'm going to be all over the place. Do not be afraid if this little black guy comes down to your pew, okay? It's just me being excited, okay? I'm excited. I know by the end of my time here, I'll run around this sanctuary at least one time. I know it. It's just a part of my makeup. Come on now, in Jesus' name. Do me a favor. Would you grab your Bibles tonight? Would you grab your Bibles? If you don't have your Bibles, maybe you have your phone. I want to encourage you to take notes. If I see you taking notes, it's just going to make me preach better. Come on now, in Jesus' name. There'll be times I'll tell you what to write. Sometimes you'll see stuff on the screen and all that good stuff. I'm so delighted to be here in Midland. And it's going to be a time in which we all can just allow God to do what he wants. So I want to say what's up to my friends from TC. I know that you are here. Thank you guys for coming. That's right. I appreciate you guys coming. I speak at our TC rather often in our area. And so I want to say thank you for coming in Jesus' name. So if you have your Bibles, I want to ask you to do me a favor. Just open it up real quick, and I want to pray, and then we'll jump into this word. Okay? You have an awesome pastor. I've listened to quite a few messages. I got saved in a couple of them, too. I just didn't send the offering yet. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. No, seriously, you have an extremely awesome pastor. So I'm saying that because there's nothing that I'm going to share with you that he can't share that he possibly hasn't shared. I just want to come to you perhaps in a different fashion so that you can hear God in a different way. Come on now. Okay, y'all with me? Okay. All right. That's all I want to do. And before I pray, let's just have some fun right off the bat. Everywhere I go around the world, there's something that I do just to have fun, okay, with you, to make it easier on you and make it easier with me. Tonight, if there's anything you hear that you would say, man, that's good, okay? Or maybe you say, man, I need to write that down. There's something I ask you to do. They do it all over the planet for me. It's this. All right? All right? So can you all throw up your right hands? And I'm going to count to three, and I just want you to do that, okay? On three, okay? I'm looking at all these wonderful folks, and I'm going to see who has rhythm and who doesn't, okay? Because those who don't, you come to the altar first. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. On three. Ready? One, two, three. Right? Okay. All right. So if it's good to you, you're like, man, that's a good point. Pastor, what you said, I got to make sure I write that down. Don't even say nothing. Just throw it on up. All right? Let's do it one more time on three. Okay? One, two, three. All right? Listen, sometimes, on rare occasion, it gets so good, you throw it up twice and you give it a little wiggle. I'm just trying to tell you, Sometimes, I'm just telling you, sometimes it's like that. So don't wait on me. Just throw it on up. All right, you got me? All right, let's pray. Let's pray and get into this word. Father God, I want to thank you for this night. I want to thank you for a time of worship where we can engage you and just make your heart smile, Jesus. Our desire tonight is to hear from you, to find restoration, to find just hope again, to be renewed inwardly, oh God, that we may be able to sense your spirit and follow in step with what you're trying to do. Tonight, Jesus, the fact of the matter is we don't have no more time to play. We want to get in your face, feel your breath, and know that you're with us. I'm asking you even now, Holy Spirit, that you will begin to touch lives. Bring healing starting this moment. Without a hand laid on anyone, start your healing process, God. You can do it. And we thank you for it. Now, God, we ask that you would exalt your name and your word above all else. And everyone said, amen, amen. Tonight, I have a word for you that's entitled, The Cost of a Miracle. The Cost of a Miracle. The Cost of a Miracle. Anything, anywhere, anytime, whatever it takes, no matter the cost. The Cost of a Miracle. And I start by saying that because I know for most of us, we all want a miracle. But the question on the table is, how much are you willing to pay to get it? What are you willing to do to get what you know God has for you? Come on now. Touch your neighbor and say, he's serious already. Come on now. What are you willing to do? And so I want to just start by telling you of one heck of a story. Go ahead, Nivy. One heck of a story. And I know you've heard this story, but perhaps you're going to hear it in a different way. One heck of a story. Turn with me to Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 18. And I'm going to read a couple passages of scripture to set us up. I hope that the preacher in me doesn't come out. The preacher means that I'm going to commentate as I'm going through. When we may not get out of here to 1 o'clock. So why don't you pray that I'll just be the pastor and not the preacher today, okay? In Jesus' name. Because I just get excited by the word of God. In Luke's gospel, chapter 18, starting at verse 35, the word of God says this from the NIV. It says this. Follow with me on the screen if you don't have it. As Jesus approached Jericho, this is one of the regular places that Jesus loved to hang out. He had been there many times. As Jesus had approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside. I kind of have that highlighted for a reason. He was sitting there begging, the Bible says. In verse 36, he goes and says this. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. See, the noise let him know that something was going on. I can just start preaching right there. Is there a noise that is causing this community to ask you what's going on? Is something so happening that those who don't really see, even in the spirit, from a spiritual standpoint, are they asking themselves what's happening? It gets even better. Watch this in verse 37. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. In other words, let me give you the Revised Cornell version. You know that guy, Jesus, he's actually in Midland. Come on now. He has come to your town. Now watch this. Verse 38 says it like this. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Mm-mm-mm. Now, maybe you don't know this story, but this guy knew something about Jesus. Come on. What are you saying, Cornell? He knew something because he said, Jesus, Son of David. He's saying, like, let me give it to you this way. He called Jesus in a way, he called out to Jesus in a way that would cause Jesus to have to take notice. You know, like when your mom called you by your full name? Come on now. Cornell Oliquest Jordan, you better. Anybody had that kind of mama? I had an old school mama. Come on now. Right? An old school mama. Call me by my full name. I knew I was in trouble when she called me by my full name. He says this, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Watch this. It says this in verse 39. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But the Bible records something so awesome here. It says this, but he shouted all the more. Come on now. I love it. Son of David, have mercy on me. Now watch this. They tried to quiet him. He said, I refuse to be placed in this box by you. Come on now. Can I tell somebody tonight from the back row already that there be those that will try to hush your voice to get your breakthrough?
The devil wants to shut you up so that you can stay locked up. Come on now, touch your neighbor. Come on now. The devil wants to keep you quiet so that you can stay in that stuck place. Mm. But there's sometimes we have to look at ourselves and say, you know what? I've been here so long that I can't take it anymore. So the Bible says he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now watch this. The very next verse, verse 40. Verse 40. 40 is significant in scripture. Come on now. It literally means the end. Jesus, the Bible says, watch this. Jesus stopped in order that the man be brought to him. That didn't happen the first time, but the second time, he says, wait a minute, forget about what they're saying. I'm going to scream in such a way that's going to get Jesus to respond. Jesus says this, tell him to come over to me. When he came near, Jesus says, watch this. Jesus asked him, come on now, what do you want me to do for you? I think even at the beginning of our spiritual emphasis, that's the question we got to ask ourselves. What is it exactly that Jesus needs to do in our life? In other words, are you bad enough? Come on now. Are you brave enough? Are you sick and tired enough to tell Jesus what the real issue is? Come on now. No. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it over here. I'm saying, are you so tired of the situation you find yourself in that you are really ready to get honest with Jesus? I know you don't. Watch this. Come on now. I'm about to get in trouble. Watch this. Let me get in trouble. Listen, I know you want a better job, but the real situation is this, is I really don't know how to manage my money. Ooh, if you can't say amen, say ouch. Ooh, come on now. Come on now. Listen, Jesus asked him this question right out the gate. What is it that you want from me? Now watch this. Lord, I want to see, he replied. Lord, I want to see, he replied. Watch this, verse 30, 42 says it like this. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Watch this next part. Your faith has healed you. You know that word there is sozo. You've heard this from your wonderful pastor. It means complete and utter restoration, inwardly and outwardly. He says, because of the faith you've demonstrated in me, you will receive your sight. You are healed. Watch this. Verse 43. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. Come on now. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. What I love about this is what I call the domino effect. Come on. Jesus touches one and all the rest start to follow. See, I believe this. When Jesus gets a hold of me, there's going to be people that follow him. Let me just get off the stage for a minute. Good thing the cameras aren't on today. Listen, when Jesus gets a hold of you, that's when all the dominoes in your family will fall. You're like, Lord, get them together, get them together, get them together. I'm praying for them every day. But it really should be like, Lord, I'm praying for me every day, because if I get together, then they'll follow. Well, what are you talking about, Cornell? I grew up in a single-parented home. Grew up, was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. I had 8 other brothers and sisters. My mom never had gotten married, 9 kids. So I knew in my life that that's not what I wanted for my life. So I married this wonderful woman, Kristen Dawn, and when we got married, then a brother got married. And when he got married, a sister got married. And then when she got married, another brother got married. And then when he got married, another brother got married. See, what I'm saying to you is this. The first domino had to fall. And I'm saying to someone here tonight, I don't know who you are, you are the domino. You are the first one. What you do matters because others are watching you. And they're watching the testimony that you're living out. I'm not talking about what you're saying. I'm not talking about the big old Bible that you roll with. I'm talking about the way that you live your life. When you submit yourself in such a way that they see that the Holy Spirit has changed you from the inside out. Come on now. Come on now. Then they will start to say to themselves, I want what they have. Can I tell you something? Go ahead and hit me. It's clear that Bartimaeus had enough. It's clear that Bartimaeus had enough. I want you to write this in your notes. Check this out. Being quiet wasn't going to cut it for Bartimaeus. Mm-mm. He was going to do whatever he could to get his breakthrough. And tonight, our first night of spiritual emphasis, that's what Pastor Cornell Aliquest Jordan has come to ask you. What are you willing to do to get the breakthrough you want? Or are there limits to where you want God to take you? Come on now. You want to get in the vehicle of faith, but you don't want God to leave the city limits. Can't say amen. You might as well go ahead and say. Come on now. What are you saying, Cornell? Can I tell you this? Listen, beloved. Don't let the crowd or the culture rob you of what the Lord has committed to you through his promises. I'm not talking about wishful thinking, mama. I'm talking about what his word has declared over you. What he has said in his word from the beginning to the end, what he has pronounced for those who love him, for those who pursue him, for those who are done with the dumb stuff, if I can use that phrase, who's done with the dumb stuff and say, Lord, it's literally your way now. See, can I just tell you something for all the saints in this place, for all the saints in this place, there came a time in your life where you had to put away all that foolishness. Come on now. And I know for me, being a parent, I don't want my two kids to experience anything that I went through. I don't want Christopher or Hallie to go. I don't want them to make none of the mistakes I made. Now, the truth is they may do that, but it's my desire that I live my life in such a way that they can always say, even the day when I die, they'll say, you know what? My dad lived such an example before me. My mom lived an example before me. And I can tell them, you know what, son? You know what, Hallie? I was not perfect. Come on now. Far from it. But there came a time in my life where I realized that what I do had an impact on you. And so I had to get my stuff together. Come on now. Can I say something to folks? They don't talk like this in most churches, but that's the church down the street. That ain't here. Okay, I'm talking about this. They don't talk. Listen, it's time for us to get our stuff together. And in order for us to get our stuff together, that means getting more of Jesus.
Well, what are you talking about, Cornell? What are you talking about I got to do?
Yeah, this is what you got to do. You have to get out the driver's seat and take your hiney to the back seat. Let me say it another way. You have to learn how to be a passenger in the vehicle of faith. Tweet that. Come on now. I have to learn how to be a passenger in the vehicle of faith. Because I've learned in my own life, when I drive, I just go down dead ends. I wreck the vehicle time and time. Anybody with me? I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering. Anybody with? Like, when I do it, it's always a mistake. When he does it, I'm like, man, I've never seen that before. Come on now. What are you saying today, Cornell? Can I tell you this? Listen, this wasn't an isolated occurrence. This whole thing about Jesus coming and someone saying and acknowledging to Jesus that they would be willing to do whatever it takes, it wasn't an isolated occurrence. How do we know that? Watch this. Go ahead and hit me, champ. Listen, Mike, go ahead and hit me. Listen, the gospel record reveals many that called out to Jesus in desperation and as a result had their destinies redefined. The Bible paints this picture, especially in the gospel, that every time they reached out to Jesus, he changed their destinies. Now, I know what some of you are already thinking. Pastor Cornell, I heard that before. Well, let me just say it like this. If the way you did it before isn't working now, then the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you to do it a different way. I'm going to just talk to the people back here. If what you're doing isn't working, then there's obviously another way that the Lord wants you to do it. Let me just get off my notes real quick. Mike, just stay right there. You remember when Jesus got in the boat with Peter. Peter and his brother were professional fishermen. Y'all remember, I'm just taking you. Remember, for those who don't know, they were professional fishermen. They knew the water, they knew the fish, they knew how the weather would be. Come on now. They could look at this guy and say, today it's going to rain. Jesus says to them, I'm going to get in the boat. He says, go out a little deeper. And Peter says, wait a minute, Lord. Today, the fish aren't biting. Like, I've been there, I've done that before. And let me just park right there for a minute. See, that's the problem with many of us. We've been there and done that before. So therefore, Jesus can't show us anything new. Come on now. Jesus, I'm giving you the right to show me whatever you want to show me. Because guess what? You are Jesus, not me. So Jesus says, why don't you pull the boat a little deeper? Peter's like, man, the fish aren't biting, but because you said it, I'll do it. The Bible then says this. The Bible says they pull out a little deeper, they let down their nets, and then they start catching fish by the gazillion. Come on now. I don't even know if that's a word, but I'm using it tonight. By the gazillion. So much so that they had to call over other boats to help them. Now, what is the difference there? See, so often we think we know what God already will do. We put him in a proverbial box, and God is like, if you would just listen and obey, I'll show you a miracle. Tonight, when you go to bed, read the rest of that story. Because Peter starts to realize, he starts saying, wait a minute. There's nothing wrong with him. It's actually something wrong with me. He started realizing that his faith wasn't so on point like he thought it was. And can I say something to some of us? I can tell you, Cornell, my faith is not on point like I think it is. Every time I think I arrive, I find out that I'm not there. Come on now. Did you hear that? Isn't that the conundrum? Come on now. Every time I seem like I'm getting closer, I'm actually way far away. Anybody ever been there before? You pressing in, you going hard at it, and then God start revealing to you just how far away you are. What are you saying, Cornell? Can I tell you this? All throughout the gospel account, when they asked Jesus to help them, he revealed a part of them that they didn't know. The rich young ruler, that's not even on the notes. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus. Jesus, what must I do to be saved? Jesus is like, okay, do this, and add that. Come on now. And this guy's like, you know what? I did it, man. Checked it all off. And then Jesus so calmly, see, I think Jesus was cool like that. Jesus like, bro, you know what? There's one box you didn't check. Like, there's one store you didn't go to. Come on now. You got one sock that's missing. Come on now. Like, really? Like, yeah. Why don't you take all the stuff you owe and give it to the poor, then come to me? Like, isn't it just like Jesus to know exactly what it hit you? Pow! Why you hit me there? Why do you like, Jesus, why is this happening to me? And Jesus is like, I'm doing it so I can reveal myself even greater to you. Some of you are here tonight, you're like, Lord, why am I going through this again? And Jesus is like, I want to take you to a whole new level. And you're like, why does it have to take this way? Because that's the only way you will allow me to do it. Ooh, I heard somebody. Yeah, you heard it. He could have shown us another way, but you didn't receive it. So now he has to show us a different way. He has to get your attention. What are you talking about, Cornell? Now, I don't want this to seem like gospel. I'm just going to tell you about me. This is not everybody. This is Cornell. My wife, who sometimes is like the Holy Ghost partner. Anybody? Come on, wave your hand. Like she's a partner with the Holy Ghost. She said, honey, you just need to slow down. I'm like, baby, you don't understand. I got this, and that, and the third, and I'm trying to get that, and that, and that. She's like, I'm telling you, slow down. And one particular time I was driving, and I fell asleep. Y'all know the rest of the story. So because I didn't listen for Cornell Aliquest, God made me listen. So the break I didn't take, he caused me to take. Should I say it like this? He allowed me to take. What are you saying today? I'm simply saying to you this, that God knows exactly what he's doing. He really wants to see how much you really want what you're saying that you want. Can I tell you something? Here's the reality of the matter. There's a cost for every miracle. Did you know that? You want a miracle, but there's a cost for the miracle. Well, what's that cost, Cornell? Well, let's see. Let's go ahead into scripture. Let's go to scripture. Check this out. In Luke chapter 18, verse 41, the Bible says this. The Passion Translation says this. What do you want me to do for you? Watch this. Same thing we read, but different translation. Master, he said, please, I want to see. He says, Master, please, I want to see. In other words, what was required from him is that he acknowledged where he was. The same thing happened in the Old Testament when Jacob is fighting with the angel. He says, well, what's your name? What he's saying, live up to who you are. You have to own up to who you are. Come on now. Before I can allow you to be who you want to be. See, because so many of us, we live in the lie of, oh, come on now, help me, Holy Ghost. So many of us live in the lie of our own selves. And so now the Holy Spirit has to come in and reveal who we truly are before him. And what we truly are before him is needy of him. We have to, write this in your notes, you won't see it on the screen. We have to always be like infants in the arms of a nurturing parent. The whole eternity of our existence. An infant can't do nothing without that parent. Completely dependent upon. And I know what you say, well, parents grow up. The Bible says we need to grow up and be. But Jesus says we need to be like children. He didn't say you don't grow up. He said your attitude and the way you approach me is to be like that of a child. Always dependent. Always dependent. How many of y'all know we get into the place in our lives where we can use Jesus when we want him? Let me get in trouble. You know what we call that, Metro? We call that Christianity a la carte. Well, Jesus, today I'll take your forgiveness. But you know what? Prayer time? No, that can wait. I'll do that later. He's calling you to be in fellowship and communion with everybody. You know what, Jesus? You know what? The football game's on today. Oof. You're like, Cornell, you're being so religious. No, I know that there's times that the TV has more control over me than my word. I'm going to say it to the back row because I know y'all get it. There's so many things that have more control over me than he does. And so God in his love for me starts to try to pull that control to himself. And I have to start to notice that he's pulling so that I don't have to allow him to be having to do as much work. So there's sometimes I have to say, you know what? Man, as much as I love the Cleveland Browns, come on now. Come on now, y'all. Don't talk like that. Y'all Lions fans. Come on now. Come on now. In Jesus' name. All right. I know, see. What I'm saying is this. Sometimes God says, can it just be me and you? Can it just be me and you? What are you saying? He asked blind Bartimaeus. He says, what is it that you really want? You see those other references. Write this in your notes if you will. Sometimes our breakthrough will come at the cost of our confession, our comfort, and our control. That's why that's why we don't get the breakthrough. Because we want to control the God of the breakthrough. Well, you know what, Lord, if you can slide in a breakthrough on Thursday, right around 4:15, right before I go and, you know, what are you saying today? When God offers the breakthrough, the miracle, can I tell y'all something? If you want to give Pastor Cornell $1 million, I don't care if you give it to me in pennies. It's $1 million. So why would I try to dictate to God how he would give me the miracle? I don't care if the miracle comes when I'm laying out here or if it's in the pew. I don't care if it's in the children's room or if it's at, come on, Abercrombie Catch a Fish. Come on now. The point being is that, listen, sometimes our breakthrough will come at the cost of our confession, our comfort, and our control. Check this out. Luke chapter 8, verse 25 says this, where's your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who in the world is this? This is when there was a storm on the water. Remember, these guys were acquainted with the sea. They were acquainted with the water. And it started to be this big storm. And all of a sudden, they're like, we're going to die. And so they run and get Jesus. Come on now. Which I think was smart. Like, Jesus created the sea. So you might as well go to the creator. Come on now. So Jesus says to them, he says, wait a minute. Where's your faith? Like, you're running to get me when the power's in you. I'm going to let that marinate for a minute. You're running to get me when you have the power. The power that I have given to you. He says, where's your faith? He asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the waves, and they obey him. See, what they were realizing, that Jesus was greater than the box that they put him in. Can I say something to you, Midland, CCC? Can I say this to you? Is it possible that Jesus is bigger than the box that you put him in? Well, what do you mean, Pastor Cornell? Well, what that means is, guess what? I need to sit back and say, Jesus, you know my need. However you want to fulfill it, do it that way. If I have to wait, Lord, give me the patience to do it. Lord, you know I need this answer right now. But I know that you know greater things. Your word tells me that you know better and your ways are better. So if you can do better than what I'm thinking, go ahead and do it. I know what you think, because I'm the same way. You're like, Lord, how long you gonna make me wait until you allow me to be your Lord? What are you saying today, Cornell? Can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? What are you saying? Can I say this to you? Can I say this to you? Listen, never miss the fact that some miracles come at the cost of our understanding. Ooh, that's free right there. What do you mean? I don't have to understand how Jesus is going to do the miracle. Just do the miracle, Lord. Michael, tell him. I don't care how you do it. Just do it. So some of us miss the miracle. Ooh, come on now. Some of us miss the miracle because we cannot understand it. Well, guess what, McFly? Hey, Paul Blart, you don't have to understand it. Can I tell y'all something? I'm not the, listen, I don't have all the chips in my cookie. Come on now. I get up every morning and I go over to the wall and I hit a switch and somehow the light come on. I'm not an electrician. All I know is somewhere, somehow, a current runs from one spot to another, generally speaking. But if you talk to an electrician, oh, man, they can spend all day with you. In other words, they got deeper understanding of what's happening. Guess what? I don't need the electrician to talk to me all day. I just need them to turn the light on. Same thing being said, I don't have to understand how Jesus does the miracle. I just want him to do the miracle. Come on now. So you know what, Lord? I have to start to trust you and say, Lord, however you desire to do this miracle, just do it. How are you going to save this woman? How are you going to touch my friend? Just do it however you want to. Don't let me put you into a box. Let me say this. See, for some, ooh, this is really going to get me in trouble. See, for some, the price is too high to pay what it takes to experience a breakthrough. While for others, come on now, the price proves the value of that which needs to be apprehended. I won't pay the cost because it's too much. You ever had somebody like that? Come on now. Can I say this at your church? They're just cheap people. Come on now. We all know who the cheap person in our family is. Cheap. Well, it costs too much. But those who really need that miracle, they say, Lord, I'll do whatever. There was a time my daughter suffers from a lot of allergies, lots of allergies. Like weird, crazy, strange allergies. One time when our kids were really little, my son Christopher dropped an egg on the floor. My daughter Hallie touched the egg and her throat started to swell up. We had to rush her to the hospital. You follow what I'm saying? Can I tell y'all? I would have gave my throat for my daughter's. What are you saying, Cornell? I don't care what the cost would have been, I would have paid it. See, for some people, the price is too high for them. No, Lord, I'm not going to lead this person. I'm not going to change my thinking. I'm not going to forgive them. How in the world can I forget? Well, for others, the price proves the value of that which needs to be apprehended. It's costly because... Y'all get it. Y'all get it. Y'all get it. Listen, let me tell you, That when, ooh, Lord, read this with me. Watch this. Let me tell you that when the shame doesn't matter anymore, or the acceptance doesn't matter anymore, or the embarrassment doesn't matter anymore, or even the excuses don't matter anymore, that's when the breakthrough will come. That's just the truth. I have to let you know that I can't be concerned with what everybody else thinks. I need the miracle. Are you going to go up there and stand? When the pastor called you to come in front, are you going to go up there? I don't know. I'm scared. Well, guess what? I'm going to take you up there because I know you need this. When excuses don't matter, when who's looking at you don't matter, when your reputation doesn't matter, that's when God says, okay, now you're ready. Now you're ready. Because if you want to think, if you think about it, listen, I'm talking to all the folks here, young and old. When you think about it, there's always levels to our release. Oh, come on now. There's levels to our release. That's why the saints in this place, they'll say, whatever God wants, that's what we're going to do. Why? Because they've gone through so many seasons of testing that they know that God has proven himself. Well, those who are young, they're like, well, I don't know God like that. Well, guess what? You take more tests. It's the truth. It's the truth. What are you saying tonight? What are you saying tonight? Can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? Jesus paid it all for us. He paid it all. What do you mean, Cornell, he paid it all? Watch what Romans 5:9 says this. It says this. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? In other words, his blood paid for your miracle. It's already been purchased. You just got to go to him to get it. Come on now. He did the work already. See, what I love to tell folks is this. Check this out, y'all. In the gym of faith, all you got to do is show up. You'll get bigger. Let me say it again. In the gym of faith, show up, you'll get bigger. You want to know what I mean by that? Some people never show up to the gym. And so their spiritual muscles will never grow. Anybody follow me? Watch this. Did you notice that they have what they call a bench press, right? You know what a bench press is, right? You laying down vulnerable as all get out. Like, come on now. With pounds over you. Uses more pounds than you weigh. Come on now. And if you like Cornell, you're like. Right? Let me go up here and do that, right? You're like this. You're like this. You're like. Right? It's so heavy that your whole body got. Lift it off the bar. Like, I am. You get it off the bar and it comes down easy. And then you're like, thank God for the spotter. Jesus, our heavenly spotter. When the weight is too much for you to lift it, he like, no problem. What are you saying today? I'm saying, beloved, to each of you, get in that gym of faith. Let Jesus do the heavy lifting. He knows exactly what you need, how you need it. We have been justified by his blood. His blood has already done the work for us. We make it about us. You know those guys that get into the gym. Anybody go to the gym regularly around here, okay? All right. You know there's always one or two in the gym. They show you they're in the gym. They're like. It's always people like that in the gym. They like to show you that they've been in the gym. Well, you walk in there, you're like. And they're like this. And I'm like this. They're like this. 36, 37. 38. I'm like 3. What are you saying today, Cornell? I'm just simply saying that that Jesus paid it all. Watch what it says in Isaiah 53, verse 5. Watch this. The voice says it like this. But he was hurt because of us. He suffered so. Our wrongdoing wounded and crushed him. Listen to this next part. He endured the breaking that made us whole. Your breakthrough comes because Jesus was broken. Come on now. Listen to what it says. The injuries he suffered became our healing. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, the Amplified says it like this. And he, that same Jesus, is the propitiation. That's a good $25 word that means the exact price that was required. He is the propitiation for our sins, the atoning sacrifice that holds back the wrath of God that would otherwise be directed at us because of our sinful nature, our worldliness, our lifestyle, and not for ours alone, but also for the sins of all believers throughout the whole world. I'm saying to you, Jesus has already paid for your breakthrough. Y'all don't know this, but there's an office here in Michigan that's called Unclaimed Funds. Every state in the union has one. You call this office and you can check and see if there's money that belongs to you. You just got to claim it. It's the truth. Sometimes people die and they leave money to folks, but they can't locate the individual. So you got to call them and say, hey, is Cornell Jordan? Hey. I was just checking to see. I just want to know if you might happen to have somebody on your rolls named Cornell Jordan that you may owe some money to. Because if you do, that's me. What I'm saying is this. It's there. You got to claim it. And the same thing is true for your breakthrough and your healing. You getting over that. You've got to claim it. And I ain't talking about this old name. I'm saying, no, Jesus, your word declares that I'm healed. That's not Cornell. That's not even Pastor Keith. That's his word. He says, by his stripes we are healed. You're like, well, Pastor Cornell, I ain't healed yet. Well, guess what? You know him. There'll come a day when you won't have nothing wrong with your body. What are you saying tonight? Can I tell you this? Worship team, if you would come. Understand this, beloved. The price of your personal miracle has already been paid for. Jesus' gift wrapped it to you coming out the grave. He paid for it when he stepped out the grave. Today, when I got in town about an hour earlier or something than I thought I would. And I seen that y'all had a Kohl's near the hotel. Now, me and Kohl's got this nice relationship. We always together. Come on now. So I looked in my wallet and I remembered that my wife got me a Kohl's gift certificate. I didn't know the amount on it, but she got me it. So I had the right to go into my wallet and pull it out and to get what I wanted. What I'm saying is somebody already paid the price for me to get what I... The price was already paid for me. All I had to do is go and make the purchase. Tonight, that's what I'm declaring for you. Can I tell you something? Jesus stands at the counters and cash registers of our hearts saying, fill your carts, beloved. I'll pay for everything. He stands at the cash register and he says, why do you only got a couple of items? Everything in the store is yours. So you know what Cornell will be like, oh, okay. Like Jesus says that to us. Fill your cart with my love. Fill your cart with faith in me. Fill your cart with unforgiveness. Fill your cart with joy. Fill your cart with thanksgiving. I paid for it. And when you fill your cart, You notice what happened when everybody has filled carts? Nobody stands in line with them. They get individual attention. And that's what I know Jesus wants to do in this place tonight. Can I tell you something? Heaven's always ready to respond. Your breakthrough, your miracle, heaven's ready to respond to it. How do you know, Cornell? Well, let's look at scripture. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, watch this. Listen to this. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of, oh Lord, come on now. This is one of the best lines. This section of scripture is awesome. This is when Elijah is fighting with other folks who think their God is all that. Come on now. Watch what he says. He says this. And notice the way that he prays. He says this, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Come on now. What he's literally saying is he's saying, you're the God of the original promise. I know who you are. They may not know you, but I know you. So I'm taking it way back to the street, Lord. I'm taking it back to that level. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Let it be known today that you are God in Israel. And that I'm your servant and have done all these things at your command. This is not about me. That miracle has nothing to do with you, although you need it. It has everything to do with him and his glory. And maybe that's one of the things we have to learn. That God, I want this miracle so bad that I made it about me and less about you. I was more interested in the gift I got than the giver of the gift that I got it from. If you can't say amen, go ahead and say ouch. You know those people that get the gift and then they forget who gave it to them? He says this, watch this. Answer me, Lord. Answer me. Watch this. So these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. That's the way we pray up here. God, I need you to answer because when you do, they're going to know that you still reign. They're going to still know that in 2022, you still have the power to turn people's lives around. Listen, I'll be honest with you, Lord God. I have selfish desire in this healing. I have selfish desires in this relationship being restored. I have selfish desires in getting this job at this pay, at this level. But Lord, despite that, even if you were to take away what I did, I want your name to get the glory. I know I wasn't there all the time in my life. I made the miracle about me. Elijah shows us different. He says this, watch this. Verse 38. Watch this. When he prayed like that, listen to what the scripture says. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil. And I love this line. This is one of the greatest lines in scripture. Watch this. And it also licked up the water in the trenches. Isn't that a great line? Licked it up. That's phenomenal. Come on now. Watch this. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And I tell you this, beloved, you've got to know that heaven is always open and that the Lord is always willing to pour out a miracle. He's always willing to pour out a miracle. Even tonight at CCC in Midland, Michigan, heaven's always ready to shower down a miracle on those courageous enough to cry out for it. I've never seen or witnessed Jesus not respond to somebody that cry out to him in mercy, in integrity. You show me somewhere in the gospel where they cry out to him in mercy and him not respond. Tell me. Show me. The Bible even says it in Psalm 51, a broken and a contrite heart, he cannot refuse. And I wrap it up by saying this. Listen, hear this, beloved. Ooh, here we go. This is the one you post on Facebook, Instagram. You can Twitter. Okay, you can TikTok. Okay, here you go. When desperation makes opportunity, that's when change happens. Did you hear? When it makes opportunity, not when it meets it, when it makes opportunity. You get the difference? I'm telling you, when my daughter couldn't breathe, if I had to run to the hospital, I would have did it. If I had to go to the neighbor and say, let me get your car, I would have done it. When desperation makes opportunity, that's when change happens. What are you saying, Cornell? Jesus is willing, but the question is, are you ready? So with all that being said, all the yelling and screaming, I want to challenge you. Would you be willing to come and do what you got to do to get what you want to get? Would you be willing to do what you got to do? Can I tell you this? May all those that are desperate, determined, courageous, fed up, unsettled, sick and tired, restless, discontent, angry, or just hungry for more, come and cry out for all that heaven has for them. You see how I asked about the cost? I'm too proud. No, girl, I want the mascara to run off your face. He loves it when you look ugly for him. Bro, you're like, I don't cry. You just don't get the miracle either. He's saying today, don't let fear, doubt, shame, guilt, pride, indecision, failure, comfort, unbelief, the unknown, another's opinion, missed opportunities, your past, or anything else hinder what the Holy Spirit wants to do right now. So with all that said, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Would you bow your heads right where you are?
You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.